This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.
Okay, welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today with Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mudin, because it's our weekly Q&A with Layla. We get questions from you via radio program at AOL.com. Send your questions. We'll tackle them. It may take a couple of weeks before we catch up to our very, very full mailbox, but eventually it's likely we'll get around to your question if it's suitable. So, Layla, what's our first question for this segment?
We've got an email from Cindy. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, thank you for your wonderful show. I am 53 years old, and I'm diagnosed with sleep apnea, moderate to severe, and it was prescribed a CPAP machine. I find myself invariably waking up in the early morning a good 2 hours before I want to, removing the mask, which by that time is uncomfortable, and I'm unable to fall back to sleep. My sleep cycle is shortened to 5 or 6 hours instead of the good 7 hours I require, leaving me tired and groggy. So my dilemma is this. I sleep and feel better without the CPAP machine. Do I discontinue using it and deprive myself of optimizing oxygenation during sleep, as recommended by Dr. Dale Bredesen?
Okay. And so what she is referring to is actually Dr. Dale Bredesen is the dean of a multifaceted program for prevention and reversal of Alzheimer's disease, where he recognizes that nutraceuticals and supplements play a role, that stress plays a role, that certainly diet plays a role. He wants people to go on a ketogenic-type diet for brain metabolism. But he also wants to optimize sleep and correct sleep problems. And so the answer for each person is not the same. There are many people who have dementia and don't have sleep apnea. But if you have sleep apnea, it's a risk factor for brain shrinkage. It really is.
Yes.
Because the
shrinks the hippocampus.
It shrinks the hippocampus via the mechanism of high cortisol. Mm-hmm. High cortisol, which is a stress hormone, literally shrinks the brain and shrinks the volume of the hippocampus, which is the memory center of the brain. So we want to do things to reduce cortisol. So by using CPAP, we get less what are called arousals, which are little mini wake-ups that sometimes people aren't even aware of. People sometimes say, I don't know what's going on. I spend 7-8 hours in bed, and I wake up like I've been run over by a truck.
Yeah.
If you analyze their sleep pattern in a sleep study, which is called a polysomnogram, you can discern that sleep is not efficient. You know, it's not how long you sleep, it's how efficiently you sleep, whether you get into proper REM sleep and, you know, deep sleep. Mm-hmm. You have alpha waves, not delta waves. And so the sleep apnea patients, because of these, literally they are suffocating at times. And there's nothing that wakes up the body and sends up high levels of cortisol as the threat of asphyxiation, you know, or suffocation.
Yeah.
So the rationale for doing sleep using a CPAP is to, whether it's always uncomfortable. It's almost always uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Subjectively, it's uncomfortable. But the net result is that it's likely you'll have more efficient sleep. Now, she can have a sleep analysis with or without the thing, but I think she's going to find that the sleep quality is less without the thing. She has a very common pattern of sleep problems that is people who don't have sleep apnea have, which is early morning wake up. And early morning wake up is often associated with a surge of cortisol in the morning.
Right.
And it's the toughest type of sleep problem to address. Because it's easier to knock people out and get them to fall asleep than to keep them asleep. Because, you know, we wake up at 4:30 in the morning and you take, an Ambien or something, then you're going to be not very efficient in the morning when you go to work.
You also don't want to take melatonin at that hour either.
Because it'll change your circadian rhythm so that your body thinks it wants to fall asleep at 4:30. So it's a tough kind of problem. I don't know what to tell this person. We can talk a little bit about sleep apnea and how to naturally address it. One way is through weight loss.
Yes.
And another way...
It's a big reason for sleep apnea is overweight.
And the other way is a low-carb diet, because I have a lot of people, and you know this, we have a lot of people who put them on a low-carb diet, say for diabetes or for overweight or for any number. We put them on a paleo diet, maybe for an autoimmune disease. Mm-hmm. And they come back and they say, yeah, you know, my joints are feeling better, my blood sugar's better, and oh, by the way, I'm sleeping great now.
Yeah.
And, you know, this whole 30 diet that I've been on for so long, one of the benefits that a lot of people on this diet report is they're sleeping more deeply and efficiently. Because they're not having sugar and alcohol.
Right, right. You've removed any offenders to your sleep, to your health, all of that.
And so allergens that cause cytokines and inflammation
that
ultimately affect the brain and change the way that you feel sleep-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So people who are inflamed or who have high cytokines don't sleep well.
Right.
Like patients with fibromyalgia, which is a cytokine-driven disorder, or chronic fatigue syndrome, or any number of inflammatory disorders, arthritis. They don't sleep well. And the brain is literally inflamed. And that might be one of the reasons why curcumin actually helps depression, because it's an anti-inflammatory in the brain where it needs to do work to reduce inflammation.
And especially the supplement cogumin as opposed to Mareva.
Right. We're now using...
Cogumin is more directed toward the brain.
Yeah, cogumin is designed to be a form of curcumin that's more brain-directed. Mareva we more use for joint problems, but cogumin, cognition, we more use in our patients with either depression or anxiety or dementia, you know, mild cognitive impairment or Alzheimer's.
Yeah. So, Cindy...
So what about the use of the stuff we use for the people who have morning wake-up, the glycom?
Oh, glycom is great, because how glycom works, it's the amino acid glycine in the product glycom, and what glycine does when we go to sleep is when we go to sleep every night, we go into a little mini hibernation, and our core temperature goes down a couple degrees, and how glycom works is to help keep that core temperature down so that you remain sleeping. Now, other important things for getting a quality night's sleep is you want to make sure the bedroom's not too warm.
Right.
You absolutely want to make sure that it's somewhere 65 degrees Fahrenheit would be perfect.
I'm pretty extravagant with my air conditioner in my bedroom, because then what I'll do is I'll turn the air conditioning way down in other parts of the apartment, close the bedroom door, and really crank my air conditioner in the bedroom.
There you go.
And I find that I get, and blankets, it's almost that kind of wintry feeling that you want to replicate.
I like this.
Dark, cold, you know, I use comforters in the summer. But it's sort of like that.
But it feels great to sleep that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love
that. It's like a luxuriant kind of feeling.
You want to feel like you're sleeping in a cave. A cave feels cool.
And the glycine a little works on that principle, and it's not something that knocks you out to fall asleep, but it's something that helps to your sleep to persist.
Exactly. And the time to take glycine is actually at bedtime.
Yeah.
Or shortly before bedtime.
Well, it'll act through the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for those who are staying awake because of high cortisol manager, taking two at bedtime is very, very helpful for reducing that surge in the morning. We all have a surge of cortisol in the morning. Some people have too much of a surge.
Right.
Or it happens quite early, so they're waking up too early, like at 4:30 in the morning. So taking that at night is helpful.
Yeah. And, you know, we mentioned all these kind of esoteric products, seemingly. Some of these products are only available to physicians, so we stock them at drhoffman.com. And if you want to access some of these unusual products that we reference here, please help to underwrite the costs of this podcast, which is free, and we're happy to do it, but there are costs associated with it, as well as to assure yourself continued access to supplements of excellence that we very painstakingly curate here at Hoffman Center. You know, it's interesting, if we did like an analysis of the time we spend here at the Hoffman Center, a lot of it is face-to-face time with patients.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Some of it is research.
Absolutely.
You know, we're just like, we might see a patient and it'd be like, patient leaves and it's like, they have a condition. We want to like, get a little more insight on that. So mm-hmm. both you and I do that, or sometimes
right.
we trade ideas. Sometimes we attend to like little administrative tasks, you know, like whatever prescriptions and, you mm-hmm. know, writing consultation notes and things mm-hmm. like that. And some of the time is obviously in show preparation, you know,
yes.
for this.
Yes.
And
writing for the newsletter.
And of course writing.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
researching
involves some research, researching and writing, because
yeah.
it's, you know, so, that's, you know, what, goes into it. But the point I was going to make is that, I would say about 5% of our time relates to maintaining an excellent dispensary.
Mm.
So we're always looking at the products we use, and sometimes
yes.
disappointingly, you know, we'll say, gee, you know, we just ordered a dozen of this product, but now there's this new version
mm.
that is even better.
Yeah.
You know, so.
For example, Oncoplex.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah,
okay.
We just switched from,
we
were using Broccomax for a while, and I think it's fine, but
yes.
we thought that we'd get, add a little refinement mm-hmm. to that by offering patients, Oncoplex. Which, by the way, is not on our website. You have to call for Oncoplex. But that relates to the sulforaphane story. Sulforaphane is a wonderful
right.
anti-cancer nutrient, a chemo-preventive nutrient. We use it for patients with cancer, but also has neuroprotective effects.
Yeah.
So we'll use it in patients with neurological disorders and memory problems and Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Sydney, best of luck to you with your CPAP machine. Hopefully you'll find an answer.
Never a perfect answer, CPAP, but you know, then there's
yeah.
also a surgical alternative sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Not that successful in
yeah.
some people, but it's actually the surgery is called somnoplasty, which is done with sound waves.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a.
That doesn't sound very invasive.
It's less invasive than a scalpel surgery.
Yeah. I would imagine. Okay. Anyway, however you resolve your problem, Cindy, best of luck to you and good health to you. We have an email from Richard. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, being in my business has me driving in New York City all day. I listen to your podcast almost every day. I want to thank you
Great.
For all the information on supplements and advice you give your audience. And I've been taking this and applying this to
my
daily lifestyle.
We have a special for Uber drivers.
Uh-huh.
From here on in, the podcast will be free for Uber drivers, but Uber drivers only.
There you go. Richard asks, however, I'm very curious on what your daily protocol is being used by Layla and yourself. You have mentioned many times that you take and have taken for many years supplements for your own health to verify claims by suppliers. You first?
Oh, boy. This is going to take some time.
Yeah.
It's also,
yeah.
I take so many things that it's going to be hard for me to remember. So,
okay.
Let me get a little notepad out so that I can write down what I've, you know, talked about. So first of all, I start out with foundation formula, which is my own
multi. Too.
So
me
I take
too.
Foundation formula.
Mm-hmm. The reason I take foundation formula is you want to make sure that your multi doesn't contain iron. That's the main reason I take foundation formula, besides that it's an excellent formulation.
But also, you know, I've made foundation formula for at least 25 years, and
yeah.
I have revised it about 5 or 6 times,
mm-hmm.
which is a real pain, because then it's like, oh my God, you know, you have to get the new materials and the specifications. And
but kudos to you for, you know, staying on top of the research
right.
and reformulating it accordingly.
So things we've gotten rid of
yeah.
just old-fashioned folic acid, and we're
yes.
now using methylfolate, a good form. We used to use just alpha tocopherol succinate, you know, which is
yes.
the dry form of vitamin E. Okay, using a lot of experiments,
mm-hmm.
but the better form is the mixed tocopherol
mm-hmm.
vitamin E. So, you know, and many little
yeah.
refinements like that along the way. Other refinements too, more bioavailable forms of calcium and magnesium are
yes.
in there now. Okay, so that's the base. I use Ester C because I like Ester C.
I use Ester C too. So I'm going to chime in where I'm taking something
okay,
that
so
you're taking.
Eliminate that redundancy.
Can shorten the.
I bet you don't take this though. Salt palmetto. Do you take salt palmetto?
No, I don't.
Okay.
And thankfully, I've still got a nice head of hair.
You don't have a prostate.
I don't have a prostate.
But a lot of women take it for hair.
Yes.
Because it blocks 5-alpha reductase, which
mm-hmm.
is the blocks the bad testosterone.
Right.
Let's
right.
put that
the
way.
Dehydro.
Do you,
yeah. DHT.
DHT, dehydrotestosterone,
yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
That's a 5-alpha is a different pathway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, salt palmetto, I take, now I'm very faithfully taking Niacel, 250 milligrams twice daily. I think it's a wonderful, anti-aging thing. It helps to build sirtuin, like resveratrol.
Yeah.
But it's a good companion to resveratrol, which I take in the form of Longevinex.
Mm-hmm.
Longevinex also. So, I also think that Niacel is helping me boost my energy as I'm preparing to do a triathlon for the first time in 3 years.
In a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
More on that later. Mm. Then I'm taking Mareva curcumin.
Mm-hmm.
I also take maca. I think maca is a good sort of tonic herb.
Mm-hmm.
I take DHA 50 a day.
Mm-hmm.
I take fish oil.
Which one do you take? I take DHA Select.
Well, I take Orthomega, mm-hmm. which is a little less DHA, but it's got both.
Mm-hmm.
I think you may be taking the DHA because you really want to work on brain.
Brain and eyes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't take an eye formula.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I take vitamin E, I think it's called Maxi Gamma.
Yes. I started taking Maxi Gamma recently.
I
just wanted to add another
400 international units. Actually, no, I'm sorry. I take 800 a day.
You take 800.
Yeah. I'm taking quite a high dose.
Yeah.
I take D. A little less in the summer. I take 2,000 of D, but probably there's some D in the multi,
yeah.
And in the Longevinex there's a little bit of D.
I take 5,000 IU of D, but in the summer I'll take that maybe 3 times a week, and then mm-hmm. I up it back to 7 days a week
right.
during the fall and winter.
Let's see. Now we're getting into the weeds here. I'm trying to visualize. Oh, I take alpha lipoic acid,
mm-hmm.
which is important. I take transfer factor because I want to ward off infections.
Mm-hmm.
I
take vitamin K.
Okay. For
my bones. Yeah.
For bones and cardiovascular.
Such a, exactly.
Oh.
Strong cardiovascular history
speaking
in my family.
Speaking of cardiovascular, I take chiolic aged garlic extract.
Yeah. Chiolic is, it's so important, this news about chiolic. I should actually just start taking that myself.
You know, I still take NT factor
mm-hmm.
for energy
mm-hmm.
because I've been with,
I
endorsed them like, 15 years ago and
yeah.
NT factor is something that helps with the phospholipid membrane of the cell and may help with the mitochondria and energy.
What do you think of somebody who wants to take chiolic, but they already eat a lot of garlic like I do?
It's different.
It's different.
It's because it's aged garlic.
I swear I had 3 cloves of garlic last night in my bowl of chili.
Well, I'm sitting across from you. I don't notice it.
Oh, good.
But I had a lot of garlic, too, so something...
Oh, it cancels each other out.
Right. So,
I also take magnesium taurate.
I take jigsaw magnesium.
Yes. I take magnesium taurate because it really helps me with mitral valve prolapse.
You have mitral valve prolapse?
I have mitral valve prolapse.
You're a sensitive person.
Yeah.
Highly sensitive.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember one time, a long podcast time ago, you mentioned that maybe that's why I was empathic.
Yes.
That it was the MVP that can cause that.
Mitral valve prolapse patients are both sensitive and empathic.
Yeah.
And it's held to be empathic. You know, it's actually been shown that in terms of risk factors for physician burnout, empathy is a risk factor because you actually take in the distress of people that you're working with. And if you're a cold-hearted, sociopath and you don't care about other people, there's sort of a shield against burnout.
It's interesting you mention this because I've heard from other practitioners who feel, burnt out that way, but they also feel like the patient is taking so much out of them.
Yeah.
Or they're absorbing the...
Yes. Yes.
I don't get that myself, actually.
I think that that's an art that you've cultivated because
otherwise we could go home crying at the end of every day.
We are digressing enormously, but I have fortunately mm-hmm. cultivated the ability, and I think that this helps with a long career, to be able to turn on and turn it off empathy. And so what happens is I learned early on that you can't take home your day, that you have to have enough going on in the other parts of your life.
Yes.
So I read like books of wonderful novels and I enjoy sports mm-hmm. and I enjoy preparing food and I have activities and socialization and family where I completely immerse myself in those and I crowd out the thoughts of like, oh my goodness, you know, could I have done something else with this person, you know, and what am I going to do? And this patient isn't doing well this today. And, you know, or you know, when you work in a hospital, literally you see people dying under your care. And it's like you could be haunted by that.
I've been a hospital dietitian. Mm-hmm. I feel very at home in a hospital. Now, a pediatrics unit would be a whole other deal for me because I think I would be very sad.
A lot of burnout.
But
yeah.
The rest of that, I don't know. Maybe there's...
It's the worst burnout place is the pediatric ICU because you see tragedies there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the, for nurses report that that's the toughest place to be. And usually they only do it for a year or two and then they rotate out and do something else and maybe they'll go back for a while, but it's very trying.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress.
Yes.
So
getting back
another
to
one that I am taking is ubiquinol. That's really important.
I take ubiquinol.
Okay. So I take 100 of that twice daily. Mm-hmm. And I think we're, and I take a probiotic, of course. Mm-hmm. I take Dr. Ahira's probiotic.
I'll take a probiotic if I feel like I'm coming down with something, but I'm such a regular eater of kimchi and sauerkraut mm-hmm. and the occasional yogurt.
Right.
I try not to do that much dairy.
It's a good way to go.
Really.
You know, at occasion, what I do is I get a lot of samples too, so sometimes I'll just get a sample bottle and somebody will send me a good probiotic and I'll just switch it, you know, so that it's like balancing my portfolio. Mm-hmm. So I've been taking, Dr. Heroes for years and then maybe I'll go for one bottle of some, like we're now using orthobiotics, which is a very nice, product.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once again, I'll mention that all these esoteric products that we talk about are available at drhoffman.com. So, you know, I'm pretty happy with my supplement program.
Me too.
I feel it maintains, I mean, real good vigor and energy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, in terms of anything else to, I also take ashwagandha.
Mm.
And ashwagandha is sort of energizing, but it has a bit of a calming effect, which I can kind of use.
Nice adaptogen. You know, in the winter months, I like to reinstate olive leaf from time to time. I like Virucid.
I will start taking that. It has echinacea, right?
Yeah, it has echinacea and among other antioxidants. Mm-hmm. But I love V-Clear.
Okay.
And I'm never without V-Clear.
I have that
V-Clear
in case I feel like I'm coming down.
If I feel like I'm coming down with something, this literally stops it. It's African geranium.
Right.
And I don't go anywhere without this stuff, especially in winter.
Mm-hmm.
So I will take that when I
Pelargonium. Pelargonium. Which is actually has a claim to fame as sort of a natural antiviral, and there's some studies on that.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think that's sort of it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. For me too. I'm trying to think what else is on my table there. I'm trying to visualize at home on the kitchen table. Yeah.
Okay. Right. So I mean, with a couple of possible omissions, since we're both taking so many things.
Yeah.
I think that wraps up it. And you know, clearly there are other things that I might consider taking, but it's a matter of prioritization.
Yes.
You know, already I'm taking a lot of supplements, and I divide these supplements into two doses. I take morning and night.
Mm-hmm.
I try to take my niacel away from food, if I can remember, because I think it's better absorbed that way. But I think that's a pretty good portfolio of supplements to take.
Certain supplements which are very energizing, many people find that they do better when they take them earlier in the day as opposed to closer to bedtime as well.
Right.
So,
yeah, try not to take the
Take EGCG.
Oh, thank you for reminding me. Yes,
yeah.
Very important. I absolutely take EGCG, one of my favorite supplements. I think it's a wonderful cancer preventive, and it's anti-inflammatory. That certainly is something that I take.
All right. Richard, thank you for your question. That's the lowdown supplements we take.
And that wraps it up for today, because that's a long question and quite a long dissertation, but we did pretty good with the time.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us, and thank you, Layla.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman.
Again. And we'll be back next week for another exciting edition of Q&A with Layla. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.